Before I pray this morning, I want to make a request. So we're starting this Creed series. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. And after this series, we're going to do a series called What's That? Where I'm going to answer your questions, or Pastor Marcel is going to answer your questions from the congregation. So it will be much more helpful, that series will be, if you ask the questions. If you don't, I'm just going to stand up here and ramble. So the way that you do that is on our website, crossroadsnova.org, you will see on the banner on the front page, or we have a QR code here you can scan. Turn in those questions. We may not get to all of them, but they will inform other series that we do. So I want to encourage you to do that. Take the time to do that. Submit your questions. No question is a dumb question. So please take the time and do that. I wonder if you might pray with me and for me. Gracious God, oh Lord, I pray. I pray for this world where war is happening. God, I pray for responses to war. I pray, God, for relationships that are broken. I pray, Lord, for those that are lonely and those that are hungry, those that have no home, those that are dealing with illness. God, I pray for all of the different realities and challenges that come our way, and many of us have unique stories. And God, I pray that as we look at this concept of a belief, of a creed, God, that you would somehow this day speak through me, that you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds will be open to understanding, that our hearts will be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we launched this new series today called Creed, and it's funny. We try to do series with words that are very common and people know. And a lot of people have asked questions about this series. Someone came up to me and they said, so is this about the band Creed? And of course, if you know me, I was like, can you take me high? Right? Right? That's what I did, right? That's my natural reaction, like right away. And I was like, but no, it's not about that. It's not about the band. And then I couldn't get the song out of my head for like 3 days, still singing it. So then why Creed? Somebody said, why Creed? So one thing is, in our study during the season of Lent, all the small groups are doing this book, and the book is called Creed. But bigger than that, we're doing this series because the word creed comes from the word credo, which is a word about belief. What do we believe? I think it's a really important time for us as people who call ourselves Christians to figure that out. Because the word Christian, the word Christianity, is being thrown out there in all kinds of places right now. Anybody else noticed? We are like the most Christian we have ever been in my lifetime. I mean, really. Yet, I would say that many of us are not acting like Christ. Many, many folks who are shouting it from the mountaintops are not doing what God is calling us to do. So we have to wrestle with that. What does that mean? What does that look like? Because the biggest way to turn the world off from Jesus is to not act like him, is to give people reasons to run away. So we're going to spend some time during this series talking about this. When I was in seminary, I had to write a paper. Seminary is the school you go to if you want to be a pastor. And when I was in seminary, I had to write a paper for this class called Systematic Theology. And that's a fancy way of saying we're going to scrutinize every single word that you know in Christianity. I wrote a paper that was 80 pages long, and my professor read every single word. And every page, every line, why this, what this, why this, what this, what are you thinking, what are you, and like, I was like, I'm ready to be a pastor. He is like, you are not ready. Because the truth is, a lot of times in the church, we spend a lot of energy on saying things that we don't know what we're talking about. It is important for us to know what we're talking about, what we believe, how we live that out for the world. Now, why this title, why Creed, why now? Possibly you've been in churches before that look at the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. Those are ways that over time, the church came together to say, let's come up with a common set of beliefs. What can we agree on? The church really disagrees about a lot of things, but what can we agree on? So out of this time came this idea of the Apostles' Creed, which we're going to look at. And we're going to look at it from the season of Ash Wednesday, which was Wednesday, all the way to Easter and the resurrection. The season called Lent of reflection, where we pause, where we look at our inner selves, where we focus on Jesus. So that's going to happen over this next 6 weeks. And we're going to really try to look at what we believe and how we live into that Years ago, I used to teach this course in the church, and the course was called the Alpha Course, and it was like an intro to Christianity course for people. And one of the things we did every week at the end of the day was we would write, "I believe," on a piece of paper, and we would actually put down what our beliefs were about the nature of God. So we're going to do that during this series. Just listen, be prepared for that. You don't have to use paper. We have technology now. You can use your phones to write that down. But I want to encourage you to think, as we're thinking, what do I believe about the nature of God? How do I think about it? You know, sometimes people will find out, and I've seen this happen before, people will find out, maybe you go to church, people will find out you're a Christian, and they'll say, "What do you believe about God?" And you're completely stunned by the question. You're like, church, good, love. And people are like, those are words. Those are not phrases. Because the truth is, most of us don't do that deep work of figuring it out. What do we believe about that? What does it mean to us? So during this season, we're going to get to that, but I want you to check out this video about the Apostles' Creed right here.
I believe in God, the almighty ruler of everything, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. I believe that Jesus was tortured and crucified. I believe that he died, was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. I believe that he ascended to heaven and dwells there with God. And I believe that one day he will return to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit and in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the universal church, a fellowship of saints from yesterday, today, and all time to come. And I believe that all of those who call Jesus Lord will be resurrected at his return and will live forever with him.
So the word Apostles' Creed, that phraseology, is a little bit of a misnomer. There were people who years and years ago gave it this name because they thought the 12 apostles gave us sort of the 12 lines from it. And that's not true. It doesn't mean that it shouldn't be called that, because it's very much in line with what the apostles were taught and what they would go out in the world and teach. The truth is, this really came together in the 300s, but can be traced pieces of it back to like the 200s, 100s. So back to the early church, because what the early church was trying to do was to figure out how they could succinctly say, this is what we believe in. They were trying to figure out, how do we get that out so that people can understand this new thing we call the church actually isn't just sort of wayward. It has a focus. It has a thing we're going. So we're going to start today with the very first line. The first line is, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Now, Adam Hamilton in his book talks, if we're going to claim this, if we're going to say this phrase, we have to answer some questions. We have to think through some things. What do you think about God? How do we know there is a God? What evidence is there? Does it make a difference or not? And the truth is, I grew up in a culture, I grew up in a time, in the little town that I grew up in, where everybody sort of went to church. It was just sort of, it wasn't, do you go to church? It was, do you go to this church or do you go to that church? Really small town. And I grew up in this culture where there wasn't a lot of questioning of God. There wasn't a lot of questioning of the nature of God. And I just sort of always believed. I didn't have a great experience in the church, but I sort of always believed in God, but didn't always know why. And I got to college, and that's where things really shifted for me. That's where I sort of had this existential moment about me, about God, about all of these things. And I remember one of my roommates in my suite first year, or freshman for the rest of you, normal people, his name was Ross. And Ross pulled me aside and he said, why do you believe in God? What is it? He said, I think it's kind of stupid that you believe in God. Why do you believe in God? And I was really at a place in my life where I looked at him and I was so angry that he asked me that question. But I wasn't angry because he asked it. I was angry because I didn't know the answer. I didn't know. Like, do I just believe in God because somebody told me to? Do I believe in God because I believe, but I don't know why I fully believe? So I was wrestling with all of these questions. So I started to think this week about this first statement, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And I said, why do people struggle with that? Where is the struggle? Why are we not in a culture, again, where everybody believes in God and it's really, really simple? I think there are a couple of reasons that I observe in the work that I do of why people struggle with even the beginning of this creed. The first thing is personal circumstances. People have things that happen in their life. Maybe when they were a kid, their parents got divorced, and that was really, really hard for them. Maybe somebody had an illness. Maybe somebody lost their job. Maybe somebody is in a place of real struggle. So it is personal circumstance, or maybe, frankly, it's global circumstance, and they look at the world and they say, how can God exist when the world is this messed up? Right? I think that's a piece of the puzzle, and that's a piece people struggle with. I think the second piece, though, is the bigger piece and the more important piece. It's people. People cause people to struggle with God. People cause people to struggle because a lot of people claim belief in God, and then they go out and they live a life that is completely contrary to that. A lot of people claim faith in God, and then they go out and do things that cause harm and struggle to other people. A lot of people claim belief in God, and then they decide which people groups are out of that circle of love. They work hard to keep certain people out because of who they are or who they love or what they believe or where they're from or what their culture is. And that's what makes so many people struggle with the basic belief that there is a loving God who is the creator of the universe. I mean, seriously, I cannot tell you the number of conversations I have had in the last few months with people who are not part of the church who ask questions just about our political world right now and the nature of Christianity. And they're like, really? Like, I don't want to be part of that. And it's really fascinating to see how much people affect our understanding of the nature of God, how much we struggle with that because of people. I want to take you back to sort of the beginning, though. Where does this concept come from, this God who is a creator? I mean, we could go back to Genesis and we could see all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit creating together. But I want to take you to someone who so desperately believes that God is a God who is a creator. I want to take you to Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. It says this: heaven is declaring God's glory. The sky is proclaiming his handiwork. One day gushes the news to the next, and one night informs another what needs to be known. Of course, there's no speech, no words. Their voices can't be heard, but their sound extends throughout the world. Their words reach the ends of the earth. God has made a tent in heaven for the sun. The sun is like a groom coming out of the honeymoon suite. Like a warrior, it thrills at running its course. It rises in one end of the day. Its circuit is complete at the other. Nothing escapes its heat. Isn't this like beautiful poetry? I mean, it's so beautiful. This psalmist who writes this psalm believes with every ounce of who they are that there is a loving creator God. A loving creator God who creates a tent for the sun and a creation who screams the glory of God to the world. I mean, this psalmist believes that nature and creation, including you and me, are a beautiful depiction of the love of God. I mean, that's a powerful, powerful thing to say. Friends, when we believe this, when we look at the universe in this way, it changes the way we live our lives. Like, we go out in the world and we see the beauty of creation. And I'm talking even in humanity. I mean, y'all, look around this room. Look at your spouse. God is very creative. Like, seriously. I said at 9, sometimes my wife wakes up in the morning, she looks at me, she goes, man, God is creative, right? God can do beautiful, beautiful things. And God has created us all so differently. The God of the universe with such love and such grace, every aspect of creation. Some people struggle, and Hamilton talks about this in the book, some people struggle with the concept of nature versus God, of science versus faith. people struggle with that. And, you know, I have to tell you, I think one of the things that seminary really brought me was we had some pretty incredible professors who had done deep dives into science and into faith and helped me understand that they are in no way contradicting one another. That if you think about a Big Bang could have had a God who started it. Evolution is not contrary to the nature of God because evolution can be God's creative way of creating. There's no reason to look at science and faith and say that they have to be completely in other directions. If anything, what science does is it makes God more expansive. It helps us experience the power of God more. The more we know, the more we realize we don't know. And that's the beauty. So science and faith are not fighting each other to tell us about creation. Science and faith are revealing the beauty of God. Hamilton deals in the book a little bit with evidence. Friends, we cannot prove scientifically that there is a God. We can't write a proof. We can't get there. I mean, that's where faith comes in. But I have to tell you, I've talked to biologists, I've talked to doctors, I've sat in hospital rooms with doctors, and as soon as they find out that I'm a pastor and I'm a person of faith, they say, I have to tell you something. So I've had people say, I haven't always been a person of faith, but the more I've learned about medicine, the more I've seen the way the human body works together, I have to believe that there was a God who created it. The more that I see the complexity of just the body and how every part works together for the good, there had to be a creator. So I think if anything, science gives us that concept of a God. Hamilton talks about making a chocolate cake. I don't know if you read that. It's a great analogy that he gives in the story. And he says, you know, you could have had for eternity flour, cocoa, sugar and eggs sitting on the earth, but it takes somebody to put it all together to make the cake. It takes the mixing to put it all together. They would have lasted for a long time, but they wouldn't have gotten together to make the chocolate cake. And he talks about that being the nature of God. There's a guy named Joel Premack, and I love what he says. He's one of the co-founders of the cold dark matter theory, and he's a American astrophysicist, and he says this about faith. He says, in the last few years, astronomy has come together so that we're now able to tell a coherent story of how the universe came together. That story does not contradict God, but instead enlarges the idea of God. Isn't that cool? It doesn't contradict God. Instead, it enlarges God. It helps us see that God is even bigger than we thought. But like I said, I can't give you a proof. So much of belief in God is faith. That's why we call it a credo. I believe. And so much of it comes from my experience in the movement of the Holy Spirit, my experience with you, in the movement of God through you. So much of it doesn't come from a proof. I think the danger for the church today, and the even bigger danger for the world, is what he calls functional atheists in the book. He says functional atheists are people who claim to believe in God and then go out and live a completely different life. And when we do that, we're causing the world to say, I don't want any of that. That's our job as the church, is to have consistency in the way that we live our life and the things that we say. So friends, we got to get real clear on it. It's not about what we believe in our head. It's how we connect the head and the heart and how we carry that out into the world. So I want to encourage you just to take a minute right now, right where you are. You can write on your worship guide. You can get out your phone, write in the notes section, send yourself an email. But I want you to take a minute and write down just one or two sentences. I believe. What do you believe? Take the time to do it. And friends, if you're not grabbing for something right now, I want to encourage you to do that. Grab your phone. There are little cards in some of the backs of the seats. You've got your worship guide. Write down, what do you believe? Because writing it down and ultimately articulating it is really important. So take just a minute and do it. We're going to build on this every week. I hope you'll be here for all 6 weeks of this season. We're going to build out this faith statement. Friends, if we believe this very first statement, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, if we really believe that, we can't help but see people, humanity, as a gift that God has given us. It will help us love one another better. It will help us engage the world in a way that God calls us to. May it be so. Amen.